Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Lexan, Laura. Thanks, Laura. Thanks, mate. I feel that was bad. Thanks, mate. See you later. Say see you later, Laura. Great. Give three people high fives and you can take your seats. Oops. There we go. Gosh, I should have an iPad. No, Christmas is coming. Anyway, so, good. How you doing? Good to see you. My name's David. I'm the lead pastor here at Hope City Liverpool, along with my wife Lisa, who this morning she's in Preston. Today, preaching over our congregation over there, because Lisa and myself also oversee the guys over there as well, and they're doing great. But I miss Lisa when she's not here. You miss Lisa? I miss her when she's not here. I preached great last week, and we're in the middle of this series, Welcome to the Breakout, and we really believe in God for some good stuff in this season of our lives. We believe in God for real breakthrough. We've just moved. This is week three. If you've not been here before with us or you're new around, this is week three of Hope City Liverpool in the Epstein Theatre. So just 3 weeks we've been here, and we're getting used to it, and we're loving it. I'm enjoying. Are you guys who have been around a while, are you enjoying the theater experience, darling? Good. I'm enjoying it, and here we are. So I've been slightly poorly the last couple of days. Got a bit of a cold. But I'm still here, right? I got out of bed today and prepared myself and came out for you. That's right. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking, this is not for sympathy. Well, maybe a little bit of sympathy wouldn't go amiss, right? But yesterday I was like, oh gosh, feeling rough. And then getting up early this morning, just putting the finishing touches on the message. And you just feel like, oh my goodness, I feel like, but it brought back to my mind that the amount of times when I've had important occasions, I don't know if you've ever had this, right? Just when you've got an important occasion to be ready for, something goes wrong, something happens, you wake up, you've got a big spot on the end of your nose, or whatever it may, some of you know. Yeah, these things happen. And I've had a couple of times. The first time I was, I preached in the previous church, right, that we belong to. It was my first leadership, real leadership position that I was going in for. And I went to visit the church and went to visit kind of a little bit of an audition, a little bit X Factor, see what the preaching is like, see if the guys there liked it or you know, or gave me a big X, you know, like, you know, thank you. I just got this massive, massive mouth ulcer. I don't know if you've ever suffered from mouth ulcers. They can be nasty, nasty. It was the biggest one I've ever had, and it was on my tongue. It was on my tongue, and I was going to preach, and I got up in front of the people, and I was feeling so rough. But the advice that I had been given, what's good for a mouth ulcer? Somebody told me TCP. No. If anybody tells you mouth ulcer TCP, just send them away. Send them out of your lives. Because I got this TCP, and it was like, what do I do? Just put it on a tissue and put it on the mouth ulcer. I was like, ah! And apart from that, I stank. So everyone I was talking to, trying to make good impressions, first time I'd met them, I was breathing this horrible TCP smell onto them while not being able to talk. Yes, I'm the new guy. I'm coming here. Sorry. Oh, gosh. They still took me on, so they must have been quite desperate. It was quite desperate in that church for somebody to come. We'll take the crazy TCP kind of bad-talking guy. And even when myself and Lisa, I've only been part of Hope City Liverpool for 4 or 5 months. But the day that we had the kind of handover from the awesome and brilliant and fantastic Roger, who's here today. Roger's there. Just, were you taking notes or are you on Instagram, Rog? Good. And... It's all right. Modern life. And the day that we were doing that, there was our senior pastor, Dave Gilpin, was up and he was saying, oh, this is what's happening, and saying how great Roger and Anna have been, and Dave and Lisa are here, and they're taking the next phase of things. And I was hardly in the room. I felt so bad that day, so bad. It was like a daze. I couldn't really hear what was going on. I was like, oh, my goodness. And then it was like I was supposed to do the offering. And that's not really the first thing that you want to do when you are... you're being introduced as the new guy and your first job, ask for money. It was like, I wasn't even loving that idea. But the fact is, I was sort of like just in a little bit kind of a crazy daze. And I find this happens sometimes. I'm like, it happens sometimes that there are things that come up that you could go, do you know what? I'm going to stay in bed today. I'm going to have a duvet day. Duvet day. But God doesn't want you to have, just a duvet day. When it's time for breakthrough, when it's time for God to do something new. So there is often find ourselves with something comes up, something crops up. Even now, I know for us as a church, God wants us to step forward, to break out and break through in this city like never before. God wants to do something phenomenal. There are some empty seats around you, right, that need to be filled over the next 6 months of our life, right? And there will be stuff, I know, when God wants to take you forward, there will be stuff that comes up and crops up in your life to distract you, to take you out of the picture, to send you into a daze, to make you think, I'm not the man for the job, I'm not the girl for the job, this isn't really the season for me, I'll have a duvet day, and I'll see what happens with everyone else. But I think God wants you to have a breakthrough attitude. The attitude of breakthrough, the attitude that gets up and gets moving. Amen? So we've been doing this breakthrough series, and I just want to talk to you today for the next 20, 25 minutes about having a breakthrough attitude. Because I think, what is it that got me out of bed? What is it that makes me, move forward? And I'm like, well, gosh, I'm not like the boldest person in and of myself. I'm not. I'm loud because I've got a microphone and a speaker. That helps, right? But in myself, I wasn't born like bold and kind of like, just talk about the personality types. They say the choleric person. I'm not a choleric person naturally, but there's something that God wants to birth inside each one of us that makes us a person of breakthrough, makes us somebody who doesn't take no for an answer when God has made a promise over our lives, because there'll be stuff that says no. Maybe God hasn't said, or maybe he doesn't mean it for you. But whatever God has said in his scripture, he means it for you as well as anybody else. And when God talks about a city and saying, hey, you know what? I want to see a breakthrough of salvation and transformation. He means it. There's no city that God doesn't want to transform. And you and me are part of what God is going to do next in the city. Amen? So here we go. We got our Rise and Build offering next week. And that's about a breakthrough. We want to see a financial breakthrough in our church. Across the whole of Hope City Church, which is one church in 10 locations, we're believing right across the whole thing to pay off 12 months of rental, so for here, for mortgages, for the other places, this kind of stuff, right? And we want to do that in 6 months in order that in 6 months' time we can really begin to sow into the buildings that God wants us to have and to establish ourselves in the city. And I'm challenged personally in that to make sure that I need a breakthrough myself. Of generosity, I need a breakthrough myself, because God has set us up with an incredible opportunity to see something magnificent happen in this city, and we want to be part of that. I'm going to talk to you about a guy called Paul. Have you heard of Paul? Paul in the Bible. And we're going to turn to Acts chapter 16. We're going to look at a little story. And that's going to help us really pull out what the breakthrough attitude in life looks like. Is that okay? Cool. So turn to Acts chapter 16. And verse 16 as well. And we'll go through the story and we'll pull out some points. So, thank you. It says, one day, as we were going down to the place of prayer. So this is Luke has written this. You may not have known it, but Luke's written this. And he was part of the group traveling with Paul and Silas. He says, one day, we were going down to the place of prayer. We met a demon-possessed slave girl. Unusual on your travels. And we met a demon-possessed slave girl. She was a fortune teller who earned a lot of money for her masters. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are the servants of the Most High God and have come to tell you how to be saved." That is accurate. This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And instantly it left her. Just as an aside, isn't that quite unusual? Because if we were reading about Jesus, we would have expected to read, "And turning, having compassion upon her, he set her free." But Paul, so exasperated. I never saw Jesus heal somebody out of absolute exasperation with them. Oh, for crying out loud, be healed. You know, but here's Paul, and he's got this woman chasing after them day after day, shouting out, "These men, the Most High God, here to save you, Most High God." And to the point where Paul just goes, oh, he's so exasperated. "Well, in Jesus' name, come out of her and be healed." Poink. Oh, there we go then. And off she goes. So her master's hopes of wealth in verse 19 were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. "The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews," they shouted to the city officials. "They're teaching us customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. This is not turning out to be the day that they were expecting. They were severely beaten and they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. Excuse me. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake. Not a little one. Not a tiny one. There was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped and drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop!" Slow motion, probably. "Don't kill yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for the lights, and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "Believe in the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved along with everyone in your house." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in the house. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in the household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He and his entire household rejoiced because they believed in God. The next morning, the city officials sent the police to tell the jailer, "Let those men go." So the jailer told Paul, "The city officials have said to you and Silas, you're free to leave. Go in peace." Wow, that was a good bit of scripture there, right? That was a good chunk of scripture. And I think this is an incredible story. And I want to pull out for you just some principles that are going to help you have the breakthrough attitude in your life. Because the Spirit of God within you, within one of you, wants to unleash the faith-fueled attitude of breakthrough. which will cause you to break out of the chains that hold you back, break out of destructive cycles, break out of mediocrity, and break into the fullness of what God has for you. But it's about the attitude that you carry by faith, right? So I'm going to get straight into this now. And the first thing that I want to tell you about the breakthrough attitude is that when you've got a breakthrough attitude, you recognize and realize that restrictions cannot hold you back. Turn to the person next to you and say, restrictions can't hold you back. Because Paul and Silas were, I find this fascinating. That Paul and Silas were in prison, not because they'd done something wrong. They were in prison because they were doing something right. They were in prison because they were following Jesus. They were in prison because they were serving God. They weren't in prison because something they'd done was wrong. They were in prison because something they were doing was right. And I think, well, that's funny, isn't it? But even for them in prison, they weren't thinking, oh my goodness, we are trapped and restricted. In their hearts, they were still free despite what their circumstances were telling them. The right choices for God led them to what looked like a prison, but their attitude was such that when the doors came open, they didn't even need to run off. Isn't that funny? The doors opened up, but they didn't go, let's get out of here, come on, this is it, boys. They hung around. There was something going off in their hearts that wasn't being affected by the situation they were in and the restrictions that were around their life. In fact, they saw purpose in their restriction. There's three types of restriction. There's maybe more, but there's three I'm going to tell you that you might be experiencing. But the first is this. You might be experiencing restriction because faith puts you between a rock and a hard place. Faith puts you between a rock and a hard place. Paul and Silas would have been fine if they'd stayed at home, wouldn't they? They would have been fine. They could have had a cup of tea. They could have had, you know, just sat around enjoying life. But their faith led them actually even into a place where it would look like, oh my gosh, we're now restricted. Now we're in prison. Now we're in a place where we're trapped. And I found in my life that following Jesus and putting my faith in Jesus can lead me to a place where, there are some restrictions around my life because I've made a choice to follow Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, Paul himself says, Christ's love compels us. In another translation, it says, Christ's love constrains us. Because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. I find that now my life, I've narrowed down the options for my life and what I do because I've chosen to follow Jesus Christ. I'm like, gosh, I find I can't just do anything, go anywhere. You know, it's not like the world is my oyster. I'm like, I've made a choice to follow Jesus Christ. And there are some, I find myself, therefore, with certain restrictions around my life. I've made some choices about, you know, about giving. I could do whatever. You know, I'm free to do whatever, but because I'm following Jesus Christ, it has created some boundaries around my life that sometimes you can, if you lose focus on who you're living for and why you're doing it, the restrictions that are around your life because you're following Jesus, you can lose focus and start resenting. You can start resenting, gosh, I've got to go to church this week. Oh, they don't go to church. Oh, now they're talking about the offering. You know, offering. You start resenting if you lose the focus of why you're here. But I find, hey, you know what? Because I'm following Jesus Christ, the love of God has placed some restrictions around my life. I'm more narrow focused. I'm focused personally. Even in your life, if you've just gone to university, you're no longer, you know, you no longer can go here, there, everywhere. You've set a course for your life. If you want to achieve something, You narrow the focus, the restrictions. They're restrictions because you've made a decision, a step forward to do something. You say, now I'm focused. Gosh, I can't just go out. You know, maybe as a student, you go out quite a lot. But as you go through your course, you think, well, I can't go out as much now because I've got to get my coursework done. Right? You've made some choices. There are some good restrictions. Don't resent all the restrictions around your life because some of the restrictions are there to help you focus and get you where God wants you to be. You might have some positive restrictions because you've taken responsibility for something. You've grown up. You're focused. I had someone come to me recently, and nobody in this room, right? And a little bit older than me, I think. I think they look older than me anyway, so I say they're older than me. And they were coming, and they were saying to me, Dave, I think I could go to and do this thing. I could go and do this thing, but I'm trying to get what God's saying to me. And I'm like, well, what do you want to do? It's like, well, I think I want to do this thing. I said, that sounds awesome. Go for it. And then he's like, oh, yeah, but there is this other thing. I'm like, right? What about this thing? Well, and then there's these other people are saying that I could go and do this instead. And then I could go and do this instead. And I'm like, and he's like, I don't know what God is telling me to do. I don't know. And I'm like, well, what did you? And I realized, I said, do you know what? You've got no responsibilities. This is your problem. This is why you've got so many options. You shouldn't have as many options in life because you've got no responsibilities. You've not taken on any responsibility up until now, really. And so therefore you've still got all these options. I haven't got as many options as you. You know, and sometimes you can look at somebody's life and think, oh, they've got so much freedom, but it's confusing. It's confusing out there. You want to take on some responsibility that narrows the options of your life so that you've got some focus and able to move forwards. I'm like, gosh, you know what? I'm married, right? I'm married. That you can call that a kind of restriction because suddenly there are not plenty more fish in the sea, right? There's one fish in the bowl, right? And that is a good thing. Because that restriction is a place of blessing, the place for me to become the best person that I can be. Multiple options don't make for the best life. Sometimes you going forward, you taking on responsibilities, it can lead you into a place of restriction. And sometimes we resent those restrictions, but actually they're there for a good reason because you're maturing and you're growing and you are focused. So don't look around some of your life and think, well, I'm trapped in a prison. I'm trapped in a prison. You want to see some of your restrictions as a good thing that are helping shape you and hone you. And they're there because you are focused on the things that God has for you. You are growing in your restriction. And as well, you know, you might have some restriction around your life through negative consequences. Maybe your choices. And maybe the choices of somebody else that are having consequences for you. So not every restriction, not every place of restriction is a good one and is God's best for you. But as we saw in this story, he's a God of freedom, and he's a God who shakes things up to wake you up. And I want to believe him for you today. You see, the jailkeeper in the story, he was kind of the enemy. He was the bad guy. His choices had he'd led to being a jailkeeper who had, you know, two of God's apostles in prison. And yet God didn't go, well, you is the bad guy. You've made some bad choices. Actually, the whole thing, the shaking up in this story led to the jailkeeper and his family being saved. So I want to believe even in your life, you think, I've made some bad choices. Actually, God will shake things up to wake you up and to lead you into freedom, real freedom, to be who you want to be. Who was the real prisoner in the story? Paul and Silas or the jailkeeper? Who is the real prisoner? But God sets you free. So restrictions can't hold us back. But the second attitude that I want to talk about that will help you gain your breakthrough is this. And when you've got a breakthrough attitude, you sing when you're losing. You don't just sing when you're winning. You know, maybe that's how we are sometimes, right? We sing when we're winning. But when we're losing, when the pressure's on, the singing stops. I don't know what happened yesterday with Liverpool. I think this is like the best start we've had in 19 years. 19 years, something like that, isn't it? The best start in 19 years. Think, come on, it's Southampton? Southampton? Yeah? What? And so I put on the BBC, and I'm like, oh, great. 1-0 Southampton. Now, I don't know what happened in the football. I don't know what happened in the stands, but I know that sometimes one of the songs that gets sung is "You're Not Singing Anymore." Because you're singing when you're winning, and then when the goal goes in against you, oh, it's all gone quiet over there. You know? I don't know if that's you. You sing when you're winning, and then when the pressure's on, it's all gone quiet over there. You know, praise God, when it's good, when it's going a little bit skewy, oh, nobody's singing anymore. I'm going to go to church today because I'm feeling good about my life. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got an incredibly large tax bill. I'm staying at home. Staying at home. You know, it happens so often, and we say, hey, if you're having a hard time, if you're having a hard day, you need to be around the people of God. Yeah. But how many of us, and I've been guilty of this, right? When the pressures come on, I just stay away from the people of God. He's too happy for me. You know, in that voice. Pressure's on. We want to, if you've got a breakthrough attitude, you learn to sing when you're losing. It comes out of faith and trust in God and Jesus Christ. It doesn't come out of bravado. It comes because you know God is faithful, and God wants you to know that he's faithful. And sometimes to know that he's faithful, you've got to be tested, and you've got to test him through the tough times. Here we go. It says in verse 23 of Acts 16, it says, after they'd been severely flogged. I don't know if you've been severely flogged this week. We'll have an altar call at the end for the severely flogged, right? They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell. He says, get them right in the darkest bit of this dungeon. How dark is yours? And fasten their feet in the stocks. They ain't going anywhere. But about midnight. I love that. Quite dramatic, isn't it? About midnight. Just when it got to the middle of the night. Start praying and singing. Maybe they didn't sing until midnight. Maybe they sing and say, this is a bit rough. And then the darkness increased. We need to sing something. You need to sing something over your life. You need to sing of the faithfulness of God. They would have pulled out a psalm, or maybe there was an early Christian hymn or something. They pulled out something about the faithfulness of God. I'm sure it probably wasn't the, oh, we've been flogged and severely beaten. I only sung about the faithfulness of God and because the scriptures seem to say that they took it as a privilege to suffer for Jesus Christ. And that blows your mind. But how dark has it got around you? But if you want to have a breakthrough attitude, you got to sing when you're losing. Because I realize this, that they hadn't read the end of the story. We read the end of the story. We know, yeah, they're getting out of it. They're getting out. You know when you've seen a film once and then you watch it again, you kind of know they're going to get out, right? You know, oh yeah, they all survive, right? They know the end of the story. These guys did not know the end of the story. They were not, hey, if we start singing, it's going to be a big earthquake. They didn't know. They didn't know what was going to happen. They could have been, you know, taken out and killed the next day for all they knew. For all they knew. So a breakthrough attitude is not based upon the guarantee of everything turning out exactly as you want it. A breakthrough attitude comes from a knowledge that God is faithful, that God is sovereign, that God does not lead me into darkness for nothing. He doesn't leave me in a pit. He's leading and guiding my life. He's saying, I can trust God with everything. That's where a breakthrough attitude comes from, so that when you get tough in you don't automatically just, you know, back off from God and back off from people, but you actually draw closer to God in those times. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's one of those verses that I think if we could actually get hold of that, it would change our lives. I'm like, God, if I could have that attitude, because that's a breakthrough attitude. Give thanks in all circumstances. God, please let it be that my reaction in life is thanksgiving. It's not, oh, well, that's it then, isn't it? Oh, typical. Typical. Some of you say that, don't you? Oh, typical. Some of you go, oh, typical. Some of you say, oh, typical. Wouldn't it be great if our reaction was, thank you, God, you are faithful. When something comes up in your life, thank you, God, you are faithful. This is not bringing me down. This is not ending things. This is going to work out for my good, because you promise that everything works out for the good of those who love you, according to something. So, I can't remember the end of the verse. Wouldn't it be great if that was our reaction? It's got to come from the Spirit of God, that, right? God, build that in our lives. God, build that in our lives. Joey's here today. Joey's the guest drummer. He's doing drumming today. Joey's here. Give Joey a round of applause, right? Because he's never played with the guys before, right? And Joey's here. He's from over in Lancs. He's from the Lancs congregation. We nicked him. That's a privilege I have of leading both places. I go, I'll nick him this week, right? And Joey, right? Joey and his family are an incredible example of this. Because just 2 years ago, probably heading towards 3 years ago, Joey's dad, John, who's a great friend of mine and a pastor in our church, and everybody loved him, he got swine flu and went to be with Jesus, right? You know what I'm saying when I say that. Absolutely devastating for the family, for the church. But I've seen something. And I would talk about this wherever I go. It's just an incredible example of trusting in the faithfulness of God. But I saw Joey's mom and I saw the family really take hold of God. I saw, gosh, this is hard. There is grief and there is grieving. But there is a closeness with God. There is a trust in God that is absolutely incredible. And I, God, I want that in my life. Because I see people affected by things and they go down and they go under. And I saw Allison and the family. I'm like, they ain't going down. They're not going under. People are looking to them as a, wow, he's just an incredible example. And it's not because she's strong or they're strong. It's because God's strong and they've taken hold of him. Your stuff doesn't have to bring you down. It doesn't have to be the end. It doesn't have to end things for you. There's stuff going on in your friend's world that you got good news for them. Because their stuff, it maybe is as bad as it looks, right? But the consequences don't have to be as bad as they could be. Because there is an incredible God who is faithful, who is available. We had a leadership thing this week with a guy called Simon McIntyre, who's the head of C3 Church in Europe, okay, to which we're connected. And he was talking about thanksgiving. And he's pointed out this, that in the Old Testament, you needed sacrifice, you needed blood, you needed all the stuff, right? But he said, in the New Testament, it would seem that thanksgiving actually replaces the sacrifice. And thanksgiving is the thing that makes things holy. He says, when talking about, food, and which in the Old Testament, there's so many restrictions on food, and you got to do this and do that and do the other, right? In the New Testament, it says, well, if you give thanks for it, it's blessed. If you give thanks for it, it becomes holy. And I just thought, oh my gosh, that's what thanksgiving does in the midst of your circumstances. It's not, thank you, it's all so terrible. What thanksgiving to God does is make it holy. You need to take your circumstance and bring the holiness of God. It turns it around. It stops it from being such a disaster and horrible. Your thanksgiving to God in the midst of your circumstances makes it holy. It doesn't have to be, God, get me out of here. You can bring God into here. Amazing. Come on, let's get God in here. And lastly, we'll pray in a minute. Breakthrough Attitude says this, that our own freedom is less important than the freedom of others. My freedom to do what I want, my freedom, my deliverance, my breakthrough is less important than the breakthrough of others. Because even in a message like this, you know, our thoughts go to ourselves, and that's right, because God's ministering, right? But God doesn't want to just minister to your stuff. He doesn't want you to be so focused on you and your breakthrough. Listen to this in Acts 16, 26 to 28. It says, suddenly there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. Paul shouted, stop, don't kill yourself, we're all here. The next morning, the city officials sent the police to tell the jailer, let those men go. So the jailer told Paul, this is verse 30-something, right? Let these men go. Verse 36. So the jailer told Paul, the city officials have said, you and Silas are free to leave. Go in peace. I've read this story lots of times, right? But I think I missed the point in nearly all of the times I read it. We think this story, because it's written, Paul and Silas in prison, we think it's about Paul and Silas. We think this story is about, look what can happen when you're full of faith. Look what can happen. Look what he'll do. Look how he'll protect you. Look at this. But I realized something unusual that I'd not spotted before. Because they were praising God and they got an earthquake and the doors came open and the chains of all the prisoners fell off, which is probably another preaching point, but we haven't got time for that. And all this happens and the jailer comes out and he goes, God, what must I do to be saved? I don't know if you'd heard the woman shouting, the demon-possessed woman saying, I'm here to tell you how to be saved. Maybe you'd heard about that, or maybe he was just saying, how do I get out of this alive? I don't know. But they gave him the gospel anyway. And he gets saved in his whole household. But then it says, the next day, the police, or whoever, that's a New Living Translation, the police, obviously, and sent someone to come and set them free. I'm like, hang on a minute. Without an earthquake, without the doors opening, without the spectacular, without the chains falling off, they were going to get out of the prison anyway. They were getting out. The next day, somebody was going to come and say, set them free. So even if they'd spent the entire night whinging and crying and complaining and going, oh, my back. Oh, terrible. Where's God now? I mean, gosh. God, we're just serving God, aren't we? God, look what's happened. Look at my back. Look at yours. If they'd just done that all night, what would happen? The clock would have ticked and the next day someone would come and go, all right, lads, you can go. Don't do it again. All right. They would have got out. This story is not about Paul and Silas. It's about what God will do in order to see somebody saved. It's about the jailkeeper and his family. That's what it's all about. It revolves around them and their salvation. The earthquake wasn't for Paul and Silas. They didn't even need it. And they didn't even respond to it. When the doors came open, they didn't go, all right, lads. Oh, everyone's free. Right, let's go up here. Let's go for it. Let's get out of here. Woohoo. They didn't. They sat in the dark, waiting for the jailkeeper and all the other prisoners. I don't know. Gosh. How's it going? They just must have been so overwhelmed by God. I don't know. They're like, whoa. Stay in the dark. They sat there, waited for the jailkeeper to come. So what must they do to be saved? Because the next day they were going to be set free anyway. They didn't know. God knew. The miracle was for the jailkeeper. The miracle wasn't for Paul and Silas. I sometimes think, gosh, God, what have I missed? What have I missed in my whinging? What have I missed in my complaining? What have I missed in just praying about me? God, get me out of here. God, this is bad. What have I missed in the midst of that where in the end, anyway, I was going to be all right? How much time have we spent praying about stuff that was going to be all right in the end anyway? I was going to get out. you time was going to pass and you were going to be all right. How much stuff have we whinged about and complained about and spent time on, oh God, and then the door, and then we get out and we're like, oh God is faithful, God is faithful. But we missed something way back here when we should have been declaring the faithfulness of God, when we should have been living a life that had thanksgiving, when we should have been having, he said, the prisoners, they were listening to the song. And I'm like, who's listening to you and me? Somebody is listening to the voice and the sound and the song that's coming out of our lives. And they need to hear in the midst of darkness that there's hope. In the midst of trouble, there's a God who is faithful. They need to hear it. Because so much of the stuff of our life, it's going to be all right anyway. The door will be open tomorrow. Something will work out. It'll be okay. And we spend all that time complaining and worrying and thinking about it and praying about it when it's going to be okay. When actually in the middle of our stuff, there's somebody going through something that needs to see the strength of God coming out of your life. I'm like, God, I don't want to miss another miracle. Oh, give me an earthquake. I don't want an earthquake for me. I want something to shake around my life that causes somebody else to see the goodness of God. I don't want to be so concerned about my own freedom that when the doors open, I'm just running out going, hey, I've got my freedom. Hey, I've got my healing. Hey, I've got my thing going on. I want to be the one. I'm sitting in the darkness until this person who really needs to see the light comes along. It's a breakthrough attitude. Shall we pray, guys? God is good. God has breakthroughs for you. You know, Paul and Silas, they got out. They got out of their stuff, but on the way to getting their freedom, they took a household into real freedom. Come on, let's stand together. We're just gonna respond to God right now. Come on, close your eyes. Lift your hands. We're just gonna take 5 minutes. 5 minutes to pray right now. Father God, we thank you for your presence. Let me tell you this. Last week, you can look at me. It's okay. Just relax a moment. Last week, Lisa was here and she was speaking, and she spoke about a story where she said how earlier on in her life and in the early part of our married life, she struggled with jealousy. She struggled with jealousy with girls that were her mates having other friends. She had this kind of like, God, it's quite something that was almost possessive going on, but that she sort of fought with and struggled with. And you know, Lisa, now how God's kind of like just transformed her life. But it reminded me of something. It reminded me of my perspective on that period of time. And myself and Lisa, we were at Bible college down south in Horsham. And we go on ministry trips and that sort of thing. And we lived on a corridor with a load of other people. It was like our second year of marriage. God, what were we thinking? Anyway, and we had this little room. And it was one day and Lisa was struggling with stuff. And I'm sure, I mean, I wasn't like Mr. Got It All Together, right? But Lisa was struggling with some stuff and something had kicked off with one of her friends in college. And I'd been like trying to, you know, if you're a husband, you deal with stuff, right? If you're a wife, you deal with stuff as well, right? But, right, when you're in a marriage, you kind of deal with stuff together. You're like, well, gosh, I remember before I got married, I'd be so often missing the last bus home. You know, I'd spend time with Lisa, miss the last bus home. In that period of time, I kind of wish there was another last bus home that I could get. But there was no last bus home anymore. We were married, and this is it. It was just a moment. And we had this thing was kicking off. And I just, and Lisa lost it with me over something, and I just kind of like, breaking point, I can't do this anymore. And I'd packed the bag to go on this ministry trip, and the bag threw it across the room, not at Lisa, just so you know, threw it across the room. I was like, I can't do this anymore. And just kind of broke down in tears. And I think I was almost in the wardrobe. There was a wardrobe. I think I was almost in the wardrobe. Just in tears. Just like half an hour before we're due to go on this ministry trip. And Lisa's kind of like, And she goes and gets one of the pastors. And the pastor comes to me and he's like, Dave, what's going on? You know, it's not fair when someone's blubbering to try and ask them, how are you doing? What's happened? What's going on? That's all you get. But we were supposed to be going on this trip, and he said to me, what are you going to do? And I was like, I can't go like this. Can't go like this. He says, well, it's up to you. And I'm like, I don't think this is the work of God, right? I just said, give me 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes. And he was like, all right, but we've got to go. I said, give me 10 minutes. And they went out. And I just walked up and down that room and just decided, I'm going to pull myself together, but I can't pull myself together, God. You've got to pull me together. I know, God, you got something more for me. I am not staying at home when I'm supposed to be on that minibus, going on that trip. And so 10 minutes later, I came out. I was a bit embarrassed because you're a bit blurry-eyed, right? Everyone's kind of looking at you. Like, nobody can tell. Nobody can tell anything's wrong. And I went on that trip. And I remember it. I remember the significance of it. And I remember my pastor saying to me, Dave, I'm really glad you came. And I'm like, I'm really glad I came too. And I think, you can't tie these two things together completely. But even now, when I stand up here talking to you guys with this incredible privilege and honor that I have, I think, why am I here? How did I get here? I think because I got on the minibus. Because I got on the bus. And for you, there's some things where you've got to get on the bus. But you could go under with it. Because that's not who I'm calling you to be. There's something more. There's a breakthrough that you can have. It's a breakthrough attitude of God birthed in you by the Spirit of God. It's not your strength. You can't do it. Neither should you try. But you can trust God, and you can know that He is faithful, and you can know, just give me 10 minutes. You got 2 minutes right now. You got 2 minutes right now, because you can bring whatever you got to God right now, whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation, whatever your pain, whatever your trauma, whatever your pressure right now. Let's close our eyes. Let's lift our hands to God. Let's just bring things to God right now. You, your stuff, bring it to Him. Why don't you let Thanksgiving come out right now? Let's make this a holy moment, people. In the next 90 seconds, let's make this a holy moment. Let's not say, God, get me out of here. Let's bring God right in here, right into the midst of this place, right into the midst of your life. Jesus, we give you thanks, God. We give you praise because you're faithful. We give you praise because you never leave us. You don't leave us in darkness, God. You're the answer. You're the way. You're everything we need, God. You're my all-sufficient one. Awesome, God. You're faithful. You turn all things for good, God. Jesus. Jesus. If you know you need to bring God in to your circumstance, if you know, gosh, you know what, I've just been focused on it, or I've been complaining about it, or I've been hopeless about it, why don't you just lift your hands right now? I'd love to pray for you. If something's been taken over, your thoughts, your prayer, it's causing you to lose focus on what's possible around your life. Thank you, God. Hands up here. Is anybody else, before I pray, just going to pray a short prayer? Say, God, maybe you're thinking, I need to turn my complaining into thanksgiving. Even my prayers need to become thanksgiving. Father God, right now, Father, I thank you Lord, for the spirit of breakthrough. It's not based upon a guarantee of how things are going to work out, but it's based upon a trust in you, a surrender. Lord, and we surrender. We surrender right now to your working. Recognizing sometimes, God, you lead us into a path where we've got to sing a song of your faithfulness in the midst of trouble while it's midnight. While it's midnight, God, and for some of us, or one or two here, it feels like midnight in a couple of situations, God. And I pray right now, Father, that there would be a song rise up in every heart. Lord, a song of praise and thanksgiving that creates a holy moment. Lord, no longer is it dark, but it becomes holy. Lord, darkness is light to you, God. And I pray that light would break into every circumstance, every situation, and every heart in this place right now in Jesus' name. Why don't you just thank him, everybody? Why don't you just thank him for darkness turned to light right now? Father God, Father God, Father God.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.